Usually, translation, as we know, will never give the exact meaning of the original. And that will come to us later on to say that Quran is not allowed, it is totally haram to translate the Holy Quran. What can we do? We can translate the meaning of Quran, or tafsir, whatever. The meaning of the ayah, we can give the translation. Why is it prohibited and haram? Because, as you can see, what happened to At-Tawrah and Al-Injil and the other books, when they were translated, take an example of At-Tawrah, it was descended by Hebrew, as some people say. From Hebrew it was translated to Greek, from Greek translated to Latin, from Latin to English and other languages, and from these languages also, or Spanish, it was translated to Tagalog in the Philippines or some other area. Now how many translations happened? So many. So the original case is gone. And as we said before, translation never gives the same meaning of the original. So that's why the Islamic scholars from the beginning said that it is not allowed, it is totally forbidden to translate Quran into any other languages. So what shall we do? As we said, we'll translate the meaning of the ayat or the meaning of the Quran so the other people will read it. But actually, every Muslim should do his best to learn Quran in Arabic. Why? Because it isn't in Arabic. It came in Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke it in Arabic and descended in Arabic by Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it should be learned this way. If not possible for any reason, as you know, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala غفور الرحيم. He will not ask us why we couldn't ask him in Arabic. We'll do our best as we much can. Last week we discussed also the case of the first pillar of Islam. And we said the first pillar of Islam is the Shahadatain. And in this case of Shahadatain, we cannot go so much actually. We have to stop in here so many weeks. Because actually Islam comes, it's all of the Islam, all of the Iman comes to the Shahadatain. All comes to the Shahadat of Allah, La ilaha illallah. Why? Because this is the first base of Islam. First case we have to start with is La ilaha illallah. And we said also that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spent 10 years of the 23 years of da'wah to talk only about La ilaha illallah. For 10 years there were no salah, no zakah, no hajj, no sawm. Only La ilaha illallah. That really gives us the understanding that there is a big wisdom behind this. And we said also last week that this wisdom is known to every Muslim almost, because if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person ever walked in earth, and the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spent 10 years talking about La ilaha illallah only, that means we have to think also about it. When we come to talk about Islam, we have to start with La ilaha illallah. If La ilaha illallah is clear in our mind, then we will be capable of talking about the other things. If not, we will not. And I told you, unfortunately, there are some scholars of Islam, they have a problem in understanding La ilaha illallah. Believe it or not, but that's the truth. How is this? When you come to the meaning of La ilaha illallah, as we will say later on, you will find that those scholars really missed out the meaning of La ilaha illallah in the case of ilah, which is in Arabic clearly means the worshipped one. Ilah is the one who is worshipped. Some scholars, they changed the meaning to the creator. As we said about the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Come back to the case of La ilaha illallah, start to talk about it. Let us say that La ilaha illallah will not be beneficial to the person who says it unless he has three conditions. Three mandatory conditions must be there. First one is to know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself spent 10 years teaching the people the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Second condition is to practice La ilaha illallah, because theories is not enough. If a person studies medicine for 10 years, but he doesn't practice it, it is useless. If a person knows everything about computer, but he's not practicing that, this is useless. Theories is not enough. So if we know La ilaha illallah, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, we have to practice in our life. By what? By worshipping Allah only, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he told us in this La ilaha illallah in his book. I remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, that this person ever walked on earth was ordered by Allah. فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah is ordering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Muhammad, the pure Arabian, who the Quran came in his own language, of his family language, his tribe language, Quraysh, still he was ordered by Allah to learn the meaning of La ilaha illallah. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Because all Islam, all the deen of Islam depends on the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And when Muslims really missed the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, they really lost the true deen of Islam. They fell into the polytheism, into bid'ah, novelties. They fell into so many mistakes, some of them are far away from Islam, only names. But when you come to their life, you find them they are not allowed, or they are not true Muslims, actually. And the third condition to get benefit of La ilaha illallah is to be free of the contradictions of La ilaha illallah, which is also going to be talked about inshallah later on. One example of them is the polytheism or shirk. Let's come back again and talk about the meaning of La ilaha illallah, because it's a very important case. When we really put it in mind and understand it clearly, then it is easy for us to talk about the rest cases of Islam. The true meaning of La ilaha illallah is to say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. What about the meanings we hear? We sometimes hear the meaning that La ilaha illallah means no God but Allah. This is a literal translation only. La ilaha, la, no, ilaha, God, illa, except Allah, Allah. But this is wrong translation. Why? Why? Because it will give a wrong meaning. Look around us now. Don't you see false gods around? Buddha is a god among the Buddhists. The cow is a god among some people. The dollar is a god among the people who love the money. Sex is another god, and so on. أعوذ بالله. إلى إنزل إذن هوى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هوى. His desires is his god. Does it mean that he is putting his desires in front of him and start to say, make salah? No. No, he is actually obeying these desires even if it's contradicting Islam. And that's the case we are supposed to think about. This is the way where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his sahaba, or taught his the other people, even the kafirin, he was telling them la ilaha illallah in this way. So if we know that the meaning of la ilaha illallah, the true meaning is none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and we know that no God but Allah is incorrect, especially if we say that this meaning contradicts reality. Because there are a lot of false gods. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the gods of the mushrikeen are gods. Alihatuhum. فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَةٌ لَكِ يَدْعُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it God. And also, when you remember that G-O-D can take S also. So it becomes God. And that's not good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot be accepted for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have to come back and say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. طيب. What about the other people, some other Muslims? They say, no God but Allah means no creator but Allah. No true creator but Allah. What do you think of this? This is also another wrong meaning of La ilaha illallah. This sentence is correct. No true creator except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true. True, yes. But this is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because if you see in Arabic, ilah and creator, ilah and Rabb, is not the same. Ilah is the one who is worshipped. Creator is the one who is creating. The Rabb, the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the other one is the one who is worshipped. And these are two cases of Tawheed. We'll come to them later on inshallah. To say that Tawheed is three sects. Rububiyyah, which is lordship side or sect. Uluhiyyah, which is the worship side or sect. Names and quality, which is asma and sifat, sect. And when we come to talk about no creator but Allah, this is talking about the rububiyyah side, which is the lordship side. While ilah, la ilaha illallah, this is talking about the uluhiyyah side, which is the worshipping side. When we get this point clear to us, then we can come ahead and see how we are practicing this in life, which is the second condition to be benefit of La ilaha illallah. Look around you in the Muslim areas. You will find a lot of people say La ilaha illallah from the morning until they sleep. They say La ilaha illallah in adhan, in salah they say La ilaha illallah, in the fitan they say La ilaha illallah. But at the same time, they are breaking La ilaha illallah by going to the graves, asking them instead of Allah, or asking the graves even if they are far away, or asking the people things that is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are not really following La ilaha illallah. They are breaking La ilaha illallah, which is the third condition in here. Second condition is to practice La ilaha illallah in life means to believe in the oneness of Allah and to practice it in life. So we will not ask anybody things that only can be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not going to ask the graves to cure us or to give us children or to save us from dangers and so on. It should be only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about using these graves or these pious people or babas, we call them this way, what about calling them as a shafa'ah or tawassul, wasila? Now this is a big case also. This is another big case which is made a big mistake by Muslims, that they thought it is possible for us to take these as wasila or shafa'ah. So they come to the pious people, whether they are dead or alive, and ask them for shafa'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that they are humble and they cannot talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, so they want to go through someone. And we always give example, and they give us an example, which is really, it's not supposed to be. They say, if you want to go to the general manager of the company, can you go to the general manager directly, or you have to go through the secretary? Of course you have to go, you cannot go directly to them. They say, okay, we are humble people, we want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his awliya. Subhanallah al-Azim. First of all, this is insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is underestimating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to make likening between Allah and his creation? Allah told us clearly that he knows everything subhanahu wa ta'ala, every language, every word, everything in your heart before you say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So we do not need intermediate people to, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly told us in his holy book, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call me. Not through such person, such person. Even by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not allowed to go and ask Allah through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is intermediate between us and Allah only in the receiving of wahy. Only in the receiving of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not in the five circles going to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking him, we have to do as Allah told us in his holy book, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. So we are calling him directly, by any language, by any way. Even the people who cannot speak, they can talk by their heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he told us, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Whatever in your heart, your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Before you say it, before you talk it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So if he is this way subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we do not need to go through secretaries. تعالى الله عما يقول ظالمون علوا كبيرا. So, again to talk, again to say that practicing La ilaha illallah is a condition to the benefit of La ilaha illallah. The third condition here is to be free of the contradictions of La ilaha illallah. Of course, to get into Islam area or house or fence is easy. A kafir, all he has to do is say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah, then he is a Muslim. Then he must pray when the prayer time comes, he must fast when Ramadan comes, he must pay zakat, he has enough money for 1 year, complete year, he has to make hajj when hajj comes. But he may break la ilaha illallah by one of the contradictions aspects of Islam. Like what? Like shirk, polytheism. Like magic. Like mocking or making fun of Islam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or of deen of Islam, or sunnah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on. So many contradictions actually, but we'll talk about sin of them inshallah later on in more details, because we really, as Muslims, we need to save ourselves in the first place and try to save our Muslim brothers around us when we know these things, that our Muslims are following Islam. Especially the case of shirk. And the case of shirk I will talk about inshallah in detail, needs a lot of concentration. Need a lot of talking about it, because Muslims actually, unfortunately now, lots of them are falling into shirk by some way or another. So in order to save ourselves and save our Muslim brothers, we have to learn it, try to save them from what they are doing. Especially when we know it clearly from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is really totally forbidden and not allowed. Isn't it enough for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in His holy book, talking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best person ever walked on earth, He's telling them, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if he ever fall into shirk, all his good deeds will be in vain. And he will be a loser. Subhanallah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not fall in shirk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us how dangerous the case is. So we have to be so careful not to fall into it. So we have to learn it. If I am driving in a way, if I do not know the way zigzags or the way subs or the way curves, I may fall into it. I may lose my life because of this bad road. So I have to learn this road before I take it. And unless I know the contradictions of Islam, I may fall into some of them. So I have to be careful in this case. Learn it. Understand it. Save myself. As Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma. Hudhayfa is a Sahabi and his father is also a Sahabi, al-Yaman. He said, people were asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about good things. I was asking him about the bad things, because I was afraid that I may reach these bad things, so I want to save myself. That was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, one of the best Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about shar, about bad things, so to save himself from falling into it. That's why we are learning the contradictions of Islam. So if we remember these conditions, three conditions for La ilaha illallah, to be benefit of La ilaha illallah, is to know the meaning, the true meaning, and to practice in life, and to be safe from the contradictions of it. The case of knowing La ilaha illallah, as we have talked about, is not only to remember it once a while. No. We need to know it as we know our names. Because when we come to practice, if we cannot practice, if we do not know it clearly. As I told you that some of the Muslim scholars, unfortunately, they misunderstand the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Although some of them are Arabs. They are Arabs, yes. But they did not get the clear point of La ilaha illallah. So they fell into the wrong meaning of La ilaha illallah. So when you ask them, what do you say about these people who go to the grave and ask them instead of Allah? They will say, yes, Shaykh, this is wrong, but not shirk. How come it's not shirk? Because they are saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they are Muslims. But if they say La ilaha illallah, but they break La ilaha illallah, what's the use in this case? Unfortunately, some Muslims now, some Arabs even, Abu Jahl is better than them in knowing La ilaha illallah. Maybe you heard the story, we said this last week also, that Abu Jahl and some other leaders of Quraysh came to the uncle of Muhammad, Abu Talib, who was defending him. And they said, Ya Abu Talib, bring your son, your nephew. He made a lot of trouble to us and he is breaking us apart. Bring him, let's make a deal with him. So Abu Talib thinks, okay, fine, this is يعني, a reasonable request. So he sent someone to ask Muhammad Hassan, come when Muhammad Hassan came and saw these people sitting on his uncle's house. He knew that there is something not okay happening in this place. So he said, what do you want? These people said, you, what do you want? You are the one who have broken us apart. You are the one who has made bad things about us. You are the one who made a lot of troubles among us. You segregated the Quraysh into so many parts. What do you want? So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him simply and easy, kalimah wahida, one sentence, one word. If you say it, you will control Arabs and you will lead the others. Subhanallah, one word, one sentence. So Abu Jahl said, take them. Not only one, take them. But I ordered it. He said, say la ilaha illallah. Now note this case now. Abu Jahl and the others did not accept La ilaha illallah. Why? Because unfortunately they know La ilaha illallah better than Arabs now. Better than a lot of Arabs now. They know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It means that they will worship only Allah. They will never worship Allat or Al-Uzza or Hubal or the other things. No, خلاص, no more. They have to stop it. And Abu Jahl and the others did not want this. Although Abu Jahl knows clearly that what Muhammad ﷺ is saying is true. As Allah told us in His holy book, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَلَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّا. Inside their hearts, they have yaqeen that this is true. But they do not want to accept it. Why? Because they will lose some of things that they are having in their life. Like being leaders of Quraysh, like being having a lot of money of the others, of the poor and so on. So they do not want to accept this. When Muhammad told them, say La ilaha illallah, in the other place, they were laughing and saying, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهَا وَاحِدَا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Subhanallah al-Azim. So again to say that we Muslims, the first case we have to remember and put in mind is to learn the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, one case. To practice it in our life, second case. To be free and to be aware of the contradictions of it, so not to fall into it. Simple and easy. Simple and easy. But our words simple and easy, although there were some Bedouins in the time of Muhammad ﷺ who knew nothing except sheep and camels, they knew it clearly and they accepted it. Although we have some people now who have so much qualifications, they learned in schools and universities, they have PhD and so on, and they cannot understand La ilaha illallah truly. Hidayah is from Allah. You will find some PhD doctors, maybe medical doctors also, and they cannot get the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Some of them are even kafirin, subhanallah, smart mind, but they are not smart. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, these people are azkiya, lakinnahum laysu bi azkiya. And zaki differs. Zaki is the smart person, and zaki is the one who is tazakka, accepted the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayah. So hidayah is not given to anybody. See what Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَى. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done his best to bring his uncle Abu Talib, who was defending him, from the others, from the Quraysh leaders. He was defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did done his best to bring him to Islam. And although Abu Talib knew that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true, as he said in his poem, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةِ أَوْ حَذَارَ مَثَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He was only afraid that people will blame him how he is following his nephew. Subhanallah. So when he was dying, two of the kafirin of Quraysh came to him. And Muhammad ﷺ was trying to tell him, Ya Am, say La ilaha illallah. Oh my uncle, say La ilaha illallah. So I will defend you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the judgment day. So these two kafirin were telling him, oh, are you going to follow your nephew? You are going to leave your father's deen, your father's religion? So he said, no. He said, I am in Abdul Muttalib deen. Abdul Muttalib deen was what? Shirk, polytheism, worshipping Hubal, Allat, Al-Uzza and the other things. So he died as a kafir, and that's what Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah says. Except for this Rafidah or Shia, they say, no, Abu Talib was a Muslim. That's not true. As Allah told us in His holy book, when Muhammad ﷺ wanted to make istighfar for Abu Talib after he died, Allah told him not to make istighfar. ما كان المؤمنين يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربا من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. They are not allowed to make istighfar for these kafirin. Although he was defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again Al-Abbas, the other uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رضي الله عن Al-Abbas, he asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on, Ya Rasulullah, did you do Abu Talib any benefit since he was defending you and so on and so on? He said, yes. I made shafa'ah to Allah for him, that Allah moved him from the deep dark of hellfire to an area of hellfire which is not so much, only for his food, but his mind is boiling of it. لا إله إلا الله. That شفاعت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم because he was defending him. Still he's in hellfire. And he's going to be settled in hellfire for all the judgment day, all the time of forever. Because he did not accept لا إله إلا الله. So again to say, a Muslim really must, by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to spend 10 years talking about nothing but لا إله إلا الله, that wisdom must be in our minds and to think about why. Why? Just to have our true base of Islam. When you want, as we said before, when you want to build a house, what do? In the beginning, you have to dig in the ground. You have to put your bases, your foundations. As much as a stronger foundation, your building will be stronger and taller also. If you want to build 20, 30 floors, what you will do? You will dig more in the ground. You will put more foundation, more strong iron and this. Why? Because your building will be strong in that case. Islam is the same way. We have to dig down in the beginning, dig down by learning the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, practicing it in our life, try to save ourselves from falling into the contradictions of it, then we can put our strong Islam. What was the result of this? If the experiment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his Sahaba, he made those Bedouins who knows nothing, he made them the leaders of the world. Find now, where are the graves of Sahaba? Some of them in Medina, yes. Some of them even in Mecca, yes. But most of them are where? All around the world. Why are they far away from Medina? Although they were living in Medina, because they went to lead the world to Islam, to save the world from worshipping others, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have done this. They went to the Persian Empire. They went to the Byzantine Empire. They went to Africa. They went all around to call for La ilaha illallah. Although some of them they do not read or write. Is that the case of PhD or master degree? It's the case of La ilaha illallah. When these people carried La ilaha illallah truly, with complete conditions of it, they read the world. Now, we are not going to try to be better than the Westerns on factories, missiles, bombs, and so on. No. We have something they don't have. We have something that they are really in deep need of it. They are desperate for it. What is it? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is really the happiness they are looking for, that they cannot find it. These people who have all sorts of money, all sorts of factors, all sorts of fancy life, civilization, they're still unhappy. They are so unhappy, I tell you the truth. You can see this in their life. See Sweden as an example. Sweden is counted as one of the best countries in the world. Even the people who do not have a work, they have salary. Hospitals are free. Schools are free. Every child, they pay money for them. Pay salary for a first child, second child, third child. Although they are having the highest percentage of society. People are killing themselves. Subhanallah. Have you ever seen a person who is happy and he's killing himself? Impossible. Impossible. But actually, they try to find happiness in something only in the materialistic life. Food, money, women, drugs, alcohol, and so on. Did they find happiness in it? No. No way. Because Allah told us, the one who created us and who knows what's going to give us happiness is لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. To be a true Muslim. That's the سعادة. That's the happiness we are looking for. A Muslim in his life, a true Muslim who's practicing Islam in his life, will be the happiest. ذكر of Allah, Quran, Sunnah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Deen of Islam, will be the reason for our hearts to be calm. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. قلب مطمئن. The heart is in peace. He doesn't care how much he gets. He doesn't care how much he eats. He doesn't care how many cars he has, how big is his house, or if he has a house or not. This is not the case, dear brothers. The case is to have your heart close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many palaces he used to have? Subhanallah. He used to have 9 rooms. These rooms only 2 meters, 2 meters, 2 meters. Made with mud. No electricity, no fancy light, no chair, no sofa. Huh? These are away. He doesn't care about this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Was he incapable of having these things? He was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a trader in the beginning of his life. But he did not want this. Because his mind, his heart is busy with the case he was sent by. Sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was happy, he was busy with making himself and his people around him happy by calling them to the true happiness, Islam. What if a person does not follow Islam, whether he is a Muslim, bad Muslim, or a kafir? وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Those people who do not, who curve away from Islam, from dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their life will be squeezed, their heart will be squeezed with unhappiness. Ask those people who have everything they can have, money, food, houses, cars, so on, ask them, are they happy? Are they happy? The kafirin cannot be. وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Their children, their money is going to be a punishment for them in life. لا إله إلا الله. Children and money is a punishment for these kafirin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them more money, more children, they will have more unhappy life. As Allah told us in this ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. While a Muslim, his money, his life, his children, his wife, his house, everything will be a happiness for him. Because he is taking what Allah gave him and using it the correct way Allah told him to do so. Does that mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be poor? No. In fact, we have some examples of those Sahaba who were rich people. Abdurrahman ibn Awf, radiallahu anhu wa arda. When he died, he left money. What kind of money? Gold. What kind of gold? This much. You know this we call tanaka. You know these cans, big cans, which is they fill with gold. It was cut by oxen. Subhanallah al-Azim. When he was in his life, he was rich. But what kind of rich man he was? What did he do with the money? Enjoy, eat more than he needs? No. He was using the money to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu arda. That man, Zunnurain, because he married two of the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to be a rich man also. And he once received camels from Sham or Syria, loaded with all sorts of food and clothes and so on. 1,000 camels came to Medina. Medina was shaking because of these camels. 1,000 camels in one time. So the traders of Medina came to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and said, okay, we'll buy it from you. How much you will sell it for us? He said, you say. So they said, 1 dinar for two. Yalla, we'll give you two for, 100%. He said, no, I have received more. Somebody gave me more. 1 for 3? No. 1 for 4? No. I've been given more. Who gave you more? We are the traders of Medina. Who gave you? He said, Allah. Allah gave me the 1 for 10 to 700 times. All of this 1,000 camels loaded is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. Who can do this nowadays? Who can do this? Who can give half of his salary for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the poor? Allahu Akbar. If he gives 1 riyal, he will be happy the whole day because he gave 1 riyal. La ilaha illallah. Actually, Muslims now, unfortunately, dunya has been twisting them. They are not really twisting dunya. Dunya is twisting them. When we are in the control of dunya, we will be happy. But if the dunya is controlling us, we will be unhappy. What's the difference between a Muslim who says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and he contradicts La ilaha illallah? And what's the difference between him and between the kafir? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah At-Tawbah that the money, his money and his children will be a punishment for him. Allah will make azab for him. وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And that's actually what happened. Those of you who was in the West probably saw how the life in there goes, how the people are treating each other, how the son is treating his father or his mother. What happened? Didn't this father give this son all of his needs? He gave him money, took him to hospitals and all of these, he took him to school, he paid for his schools, and when he is 15, 16, 17 years old, he becomes the enemy of the father. And we may kill him. La ilaha illallah. That's why, this is actually a point I have to remember. Some of our Muslim brothers, unfortunately, they would love to go to the West and have the green card and live in the West because it's better salaries, fancier life. They are forgetting that if he lives in the West, he probably gain a lot of money, but he will lose his deen. Maybe not him, probably in the beginning he will be strong enough, but within the time, he will be affected. If not him, his children. I have seen by my own eyes in the United States, a Muslim crying because his daughters are bringing their boyfriends into his house. And you know what's the rest. And if he ever tried to say no, one telephone to the police and he will be in jail. What did he get? What did he gain? He gained a lot of money, true. He gained a fancy life, true. He became a civilized person who sat on a table and ate with fork and knife. He started to wear these fancy clothes. He has more and more money in the bank. But he lost his deen and his children's deen. Allahu musta'an. So a Muslim should really always think that our happiness is only in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. As it was for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for his Sahaba. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left every kind of desire he ever thought of for La ilaha illallah. He was happy in his people. Before Risalah, before he became the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 40 years, until he was 40 years, he was happy with his people because the people were respecting him, calling him As-Sadiq, calling him Al-Amin, good name, he was respected by everybody. But when he started to call for La ilaha illallah, these people started to hate him. They started to give him bad names. They started to give him hard time. They started to put dirty things on his back while he's praying. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us that deen al-Islam is not cheap. And Jannah is not cheap. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. The messenger of Allah is waiting for the victory of Allah because it was so long time he's waiting for it. A messenger, not a regular person, brothers. Subhanallah al-Azim. Jannah is not cheap. Jannah is not cheap. We have to suffer in order to reach that day when we get to Jannah and relax. Traders, smart traders, always think about the end of the trading. If he is buying some equipment, or garments, whatever it is, if they buy it, and they have to suffer for some time in putting it in the stores and taking it to some other areas. But they do this with happiness. Why? Because they know how much they will sell it. If they buy it for 1,000 riyal from this area, and they suffer for storing it and moving it, shipping it to other countries, then they will sell it for 10,000 riyal. MashaAllah. That's then if, because he's going to get 10,000 riyals for 1,000, he will suffer for a lot of things. But a Muslim, a true Muslim, who knows that he's going to suffer a few years in this life, some years in this life, even if all his life, then he will be happy in Jannah. Jannah! Allah told us about this Jannah, something if we really hear it and remember it and think of it, then we will never think of dunya at all. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسٍ وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى لا إله إلا الله. Every مؤمن, as Muhammad told us, every مؤمن in Jannah, he has four rivers in his area, in his Jannah, his own Jannah. A river of water, clean water. A river of honey. A river of لبن. And a river of what? Khamr. But without, khamr does not lose the mind. Without alcohol. La ilaha illallah. Every mu'min, after he is tired in his life, he is coming to Jannah to relax, to enjoy. For how long? Forever. Forever. There's no how long in here. It's forever. So do we count 1,000 riyal? Or we want 10,000 riyal in the trade? Now we are counting zero in here almost to everything in Jannah. Where are the smart traders to buy and sell? Where are they? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah is buying your life and money. Although he owns them subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is still giving you the chance to sell your life and your money to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the price? Jannah. Jannah. Jannah, ya Abdullah. Think of it. If we really think of it this way, then we will not really care about our life. How it goes. Exactly like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Our mother Aisha told us how he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eats. He comes sometimes to his house after the Fajr and after the sun is rising. And he asks them, do you have something to eat? If Aisha radiallahu anha or other mothers say, no, we don't have anything, he says, then I am fasting. He did not get angry. You bad woman, you did not cook, you are a bad wife, you did not cook me anything, I am hungry. No. He doesn't care about this. He is only having in his mind to be satisfying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling people to Islam. He gets so happy when he sees a kafir is saved from hellfire by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That is his business. That's his trade. He was only caring about this because he wants to finish this life with happiness by satisfying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was he unhappy? La wallah. He was the happiest person ever walked in earth. Why? Why? Because he was obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was enjoying prayer. Do we enjoy prayer? Do we enjoy our salah? No, unfortunately. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that a true praying person is the one who is enjoying salah. When he stands for salah, he finds the happiness because he's talking to who? Allahu Akbar. Put this in mind, brothers. When we stand to pray, whom are we talking to? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if someone, one of you, gets a card that he can get into the king every time he wants, anytime, or get the president, or anywhere in this world. If you have a card, that this with this card, he can get directly to the place of the king, or the president, or the minister. Oh, mashallah, he's a fantastic person, because he can get to there anywhere, anytime. But what if we say, that we all you have to do is just make wudu, ablution, and stand in front of Allah, and say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is talking to you, and you are talking to him. That is the true happiness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was enjoying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger, he told him, Ya ayyuha al-muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qaleela, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. Why? Why is he asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand most of the night? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He stood and prayed most of the night until his feet were bleeding. Salawat Rabbi wa salamu alayhi. But what was the reason? Listen to the rest of the ayah. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Allah is telling him that do this because we are going to give you a very heavy assignment, a very heavy mission. What is that mission? Is to convey Islam and call people to Islam. Yani he is not supposed to think of, of himself. He is not supposed to think of anything else except to call people to Islam, to save people from kufr, save people from hellfire. As he told us in the other hadith, أَنَا آخِذٌ بِحِجَزِكُمْ عَنِ النَّارِ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did done his best to save people from hellfire. Although he was not eating anything almost. He was not having the fancy we are having now. Why is this? Because the people who are true Muslims must forget their desires. No time for desires. Now, no time for enjoying life, as they say. Our enjoyment in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the true enjoyment. Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba, how did they spend their life? They spent their life like or tried to do the same as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. What did he do sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As we said before, Abu Bakr also was doing the same thing. Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Ali, Uthman wa Ali and the other Sahaba, they were spending most of their life, most of their night praying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending their life, most of their life in da'wah and jihad to call people and save them from hellfire. What is our business now? What are we doing now? Unfortunately, we are not following these good people. At least most of Muslims now. We are busy with food, with women, with houses, cars, and so on. How much we pay? How much we spare for La ilaha illallah, for Islam, for da'wah? Most of Muslims, unfortunately, have no time for this. If they ever have small free time, they will spend it. Or sometimes they say, Khali badir. They are not really free to think about Islam. They think it's just to say La ilaha illallah is enough. And they forget that the hypocrites, munafiqeen, they say La ilaha illallah. Not only this, the hypocrites, the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, blessed, they pray with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they fast with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they pay zakat to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they make jihad with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they make hajj with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did that give them any good? Did that do them any good? No way. How many Muslims are saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and they are not really practicing La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah? They think just to say La ilaha illallah is enough to be a true Muslim. No. Unless with these three conditions we said just a few minutes ago. Again, brothers, what I wanted to say that a Muslim really is a must. It's not a choice. It's a must that we have to learn the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. We have to learn also the wrong meaning of La ilaha illallah. We have to learn how to practice La ilaha illallah. We have to learn the contradictions of La ilaha illallah to be saved off. If we do so, then we will get full benefit of La ilaha illallah. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba did, we want to follow them. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. We are also نَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. We want to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to do so, we have to leave a lot of our desires. We are not supposed to think of how to have more money. How can we have more better cars, better women, better this, better that? We should always ask ourselves, how can we have a better Islam? Better practice of Islam? How can we push ourselves to do what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do? Don't we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Astaghfirullah, we do. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But only by words, unfortunately. When it comes to practice, loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only by words. But when it comes to practice, I'm too busy. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our beloved person, yes. How are we going to follow him? By obeying what he told us. As we will see inshallah later on when we talk about the meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much we took? An hour about now? About an hour now? I don't want to take more time of you, although I'm happy to see you in front of your humble brother, but just to remind myself in the beginning and remind you also about La ilaha illallah, about Islam. In this such a place, just put in mind, I was sitting in here, insha'Allah, as Muhammad told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله. يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة وتنزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. عند هذا الحديث فيقال لهم قوموا مغفورا لكم. الله أكبر. When we leave this place, الله سبحانه وتعالى will tell that we are forgiven. اللهم لك الحمد، اللهم لك الحمد. يا الله، اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا حي يا قيوم، يا أحد يا صمد، يا من لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. نسألك يا أرحم الراحمين أن ترحم ضعفنا وأن تجبر كسرنا وأن تتولى أمرنا وأن تحسن خلاصنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه، وجنبنا ما تكرهه وتأباه. اللهم أصلح لنا نياتنا وذرياتنا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اغفر لي ولإخواني أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للحاضرين خاصة والغائبين. اللهم اجعل مجلسنا هذا شاهدا لنا لا شاهدا علينا. اللهم اجعله في ميزان الحسنات. اللهم فرحنا به يوم أن نقف بين يديك يا حي يا قيوم. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل لا إله إلا الله. صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وجزاكم الله خير.